Hello and welcome back to the Wellfest podcast with me, Marty Guilfoyle. The health, fitness and wellness podcast brought to you by Wellfest and their presenting partner, KBC. I'm so excited to be back for a second series. We'll be speaking to another incredible lineup of industry experts, hearing their inspiring stories and motivating us to move well, eat well and live well. This podcast, supported by KBC, is just one of many health and wellness resources available on wellfest.ie to help you on your wellness journey. With thanks to KBC, we'll be tapping into a wealth of knowledge with our guests to empower even more people of all ages to prioritise their health, fitness and well-being. Now, let's dive into this week's episode. Okay, husband and wife Jerry and Miriam Hussey are the founders of Soul Space. Jerry is a performance psychologist, also known as a soul coach, and Miriam is a qualified pharmacist and integrative health and wellness coach. They are both fully committed to awakening the human spirit and helping people be the best version of themselves. Miriam, Jerry, welcome.
How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning is right. How are you both keeping?
We are good. Good. Delighted to be here, Marty, and looking forward to our chat or conversation today.
Yeah. Oh, like sure. When we look back to the last episode that myself and Jerry did, I think it was the most popular episode of the series. And obviously circumstances have changed since we did the last one, Jerry.
Yeah, I was just thinking that this morning since I saw you last. It's been a year that probably nobody could have predicted. but we're still here. We're still here and we're still chatting.
We're still here. We're still chatting. Looking forward to getting another popular one out there. So you've got something very exciting coming in May, the release of your first book, Awaken Your Power Within. Congratulations. Tell people what we can expect from the book, Jerry.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's been one of the things I did in lockdown. I just decided now is the time to write it. And for a few different reasons. One, people will know, you know, my talks have been evolving over the years from a sports psychologist who trained people to be more present, more calm, more focused, and higher performers. And then the more I learned, the more I understood the mind-body connection, the impact our thoughts and emotions have, you know, on our body or physiology or chemistry. The more I understood that was the more then I started to look at things like unresolved trauma, you know, and the different variations of trauma that turns up. And when I started to look around at the world of sickness and the world of disease, my understanding about the mind-body connection and the impact of unresolved trauma really led me then to move beyond sport and move into kind of a more holistic way of looking at health and well-being and vitality. And so, you know, people might have attended five different talks and they say he's talking about something different in each of them. And that's I suppose for the last 20 years, I've been evolving and deepening and looking at things like, you know, psychology, neuroscience, quantum physics, you know, the energy of the body and how all these comes together. So the book is the first time ever that I've put everything I know and everything I've learned in the one place in what I hope is a very organized. So it's very simple, but it takes science and understanding of the human being from both a physical point of view, a chemical point of view, and a spiritual point of view. And I think it's a guide for life. I wanted to write a book where I could put my heart and soul into it and that I believe it's something that people can use again and again at different times of their life. I'm not sure if I'll ever write a second book. So I wanted to put everything I have, I put my whole heart and soul into this book. So I think I'm really proud of the way it came out. And I think whether you're someone 18, 19 years old heading into a new world, or whether you're someone in, you know, 40s looking to reinvent yourself, or whether you're somebody in your 70s and 80s and asking big questions, what is this life about? What is, you know, what is the thing I really need to let go? I think there's something for all ages. And that's what I really hope.
Amazing. And obviously you're so used to speaking in front of massive crowds and now you've put together, you know, everything into the book. You know, are you nervous for the release? Because you don't come across as the kind of guy that would get nervous, you know, talking in front of massive crowds. But here we are now with your first book coming out. Like, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, it is a little bit different, Marty, because the book starts, there's three sections in the book. The first section is, how did I get into this field myself? And that comes from very real, very raw. You meet me at 9 years old and I'm contemplating suicide. So I was 9 years old when I first thought about ending my own life. So the first chapter of the book, you get to meet, it's you wake up in the morning and you live that day inside my mind and what used to go through it and what. So straight away, I suppose I'm bearing my soul. So people will understand why I'm so passionate about this. I've gone to the lengths that I've gone to to put together this understanding of the mind, the body, the spirit, trauma, and also mental health. And, you know, we think mental health is kind of something to do with the brain and chemical imbalance. But, you know, the brain is part of our mind. Mm-hmm. No, the brain isn't all of the mind. So the book is me trying to understand what is the human mind, who am I, and ultimately, if I am to heal this mind of mine, what is the role I can play in that? So that's the little piece I'm nervous about, because, you know, family and friends will be reading the book. And
yes.
But I think that will ground it, and everything that comes after that in the book, I think people will ground. It's a real important part of the book. But it's a book that I suppose people will see parts of me that I've never shared before. But I think it allows people to see that this isn't something I've just gotten into recently, or this isn't something that I, you know, I kind of understand from an intellectual point of view, that this is something that I've grappled with and grasped with and lived with. And the stuff I share in the book is literally the stuff that I did to transform my own mind, my own well-being, my own self-confidence. So I'm giving to everybody the stuff I've done myself.
Yeah, and like you have to admire that complete honesty. So I can't wait to read the book myself. I saw on the contents page on your Instagram that one chapter, it really stood out to me. It was letting go of the fear of not being enough, which I think everyone experiences at some point in their lives. You know, is there a psychological reason for us humans experiencing this feeling? And, you know, how can we let go of this fear?
Yeah, there's probably three fears a human being has. The first fear is that we're not enough. Mm-hmm. The second fear is that we won't have enough. So we're always terrified something's going to happen. Everything's going to be taken away from us. And the third fear is that there's nothing beyond the physical. And when we think there's nothing beyond the physical, then we're terrified of losing a job. We put far too much effort into how we look physically. We put far too much emphasis on the physical matter. So we chase dreams that can give us a job or house. But we don't really chase dreams that make us happy and peaceful and joyful. So when we talk about the fear of not being enough or the fear of the physical, they're all linked. So when we start to look at who am I, you realize that you are part physical. The most special, the most beautiful, the most incredible part of you has nothing to do with the physical you. It's your dreams, your ambitions, your passions, your joy. It's what people see when they look into your eyes. So it's your soul. Mm-hmm. So we have to ignite our entire part of ourselves. We end up thinking we're not good enough, Marty, because a lot of the time we're chasing stuff that we want, that other people want, or we squeeze ourselves into the expectations that other people have for us. And we betray our true self. So what I say in the book is we put on this mask of a constructed self. And then the real self, your true self, gets suffocated behind that mask. And you spend the rest of your life living a life where either you're living it to get the things that other people want you to have, or you spend your life trying to become somebody that you think other people want you to be, or that will get you accepted by others. And all the while you're suffocating your true self. And that's why at times in life you kind of ask, what is my life about? Who am I anyway? So, you know, the only way we can really feel enough is if we're living our truest self and realizing that each and every one of us is uniquely different, uniquely beautiful. And each and every one of us has to write the story of our own life. Nobody else can write that story for you. But being your true, authentic self, particularly in our modern world, which we think we have freedom of speech and freedom of expression. I don't think we've ever had a more closed-minded world whereby people are afraid now. Because if I say the wrong thing, what's that going to look like publicly?
Yes.
From intolerant to people with different ideas. And then we get into an argument, and there's just, it almost seems now that if anybody has an argument that's contrary to the popular belief, then they're picked out. So we need a world of greater compassion, a world of greater understanding, and a world where we accept and we celebrate the differences that other peoples bring, not just in the way they look, the way they talk, the way they speak, but also in their ideas. Because the people that have changed the world are the people that were brave enough to bring an idea to the table that was different to contrary belief or popular belief.
Wow. I remember from our last interview, Jerry, you're one of the easiest people to interview because I end up becoming a listener rather than an interviewer. And then I forget sometimes that I'm like, hang on here, I got to keep this conversation going. I could listen to you all day. I really could. Miriam, we'll head over to you for a second, if that's okay. You're a trained pharmacist. And over the past couple of years, you've transitioned into integrated wellness. Can you highlight what led you to a more holistic approach?
Yeah, so I suppose I spent over a decade, 15 years really, between studying pharmacy and then working as a community pharmacy. So I really was, I suppose, frontline. You know, you're meeting people every day, you're communicating with people, you're listening to their stories, you're, you know, giving them their medication. And I suppose over that decade, my eyes were really opened to the way that we look at our health. More correctly, I suppose, I really felt that I was working more in a sick care system, Marty, than a healthcare system. Because sometimes I felt like when people came to me, when they handed me their prescription pad, sometimes I felt like it was a little bit too late. And I often wondered, you know, if I had maybe met this person 10, 15 years earlier in their lives, and we looked at lifestyle as medicine, we looked at the way they were living their life. So in terms of what were they eating, were they moving? What were their thoughts like? What were their relationships like? Were they stressed? Were they sleeping? Mm-hmm. And because I sometimes feel like we don't actually treat the root cause of the disease, which when we break that down is a lack of ease. And often what we do is we tend to treat the symptom and we take a pill and we try and, you know, turn down or dial down or suppress the symptom. But sometimes we don't actually go a little bit deeper, ask the bigger questions and maybe investigate and look deeper into, well, what's going on in my life that might be potentially contributing or, you know, making me unwell. And there's no one solution. There's no one cure for everything. And I suppose for me, what I started to do was to try and broaden my own learning, knowledge and awareness around true health and well-being, around lifestyle as medicine, and around the things that truly bring us joy and, as Jerry mentioned earlier, peace and compassion. And often sometimes we go for the quick fix and we tend to, as I said, treat the symptom, dial down the noise rather than investigating to the truth of the matter. And that led me then to look at what I call integrative wellness, which is looking at the bigger picture. It's not just looking at, you know, someone might come in and ask for a tablet for, you know, their headache. And I would, you know, instead of just saying, well, here's your tablet, you know, this might turn down the pain in your head. But actually, what's causing the pain in your head in the first place? Is it something to do with stress? Is it your job? Is it a relationship? Is it, you know, you're not hydrated enough? Is it you're not moving energy out of the body and you're getting tense and tight? And sometimes what we do is, you know, and not just with medication or it's sometimes in life, we go for the quick fix. So what I started to do is look at this integrated approach, and it's looking at the mind. So what goes on, our thoughts, our emotions, are we expressing them in healthy ways, or are we keeping them locked and bottled in, which is causing stagnation in the body? And I've studied yoga and meditation and mindfulness and yoga psychology and nutrition and integrated nutrition. And what I suppose I try and do now, Marty, long-winded answer, but is try and put it all together so that when you meet someone, you look at the whole picture. And they get to investigate the style they're living their life in. And is it bringing them closer to their dream? Is it bringing them vitality? Is it bringing them health and happiness? Or are there elements in their lifestyle that's draining their energy, that's causing them to feel unwell, that's causing them to feel stuck? And is this then impacting the physiology in the body? Because everything, as we now know, is connected. Our thoughts, our emotions, our food, our movement, our sleep, our stress, they all have an impact on the biology and the expression of our genes. So, you know, there's a term epigenetics, which means we are not our genes are not our destiny anymore. And science is showing that. But we are handed our genes. And it's like I hand you a loaded gun and that's your genes. You can't change them. But what pulls the trigger is your lifestyle. Lifestyle can either activate or deactivate certain genes. So it's looking at, how can I live a life of more ease and grace? And I suppose that's what I do now in a long-winded approach.
No, we love the long-winded approaches. We're here to learn, you know, and I'm learning so much here as well. And to anybody listening right now, before we started recording, like I tried to like, you know, slide off camera a little bit and sip on an energy drink. And Jerry was like, What do you got there? Is that like a can of Guinness? And I was like, no, it's an energy drink. And I knew that some of the questions that I was going to be asking you were going to be related around, like, you know, quick fixes and stuff. And I was like, oh, I don't want them to see me doing this. But then I'm like, well, hang on. Now I'm in a position where I can be like, look, say someone like myself or anyone else listening, you know, who wants to, say, practice like a 360 approach on their own health and well-being habits. Like, what advice can you give them if you're able to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think really when you break it down to lifestyle as medicine or integrative wellness, I try and look at three main pillars. So for anybody listening, I would be looking at, so what's going on in the mind, what's going on in the body, and what's going on in the soul or the spirit. And really when first the pillar that most people turn to is the body, it's because what we know best. So we often think, you know, I want to be healthy, I need to lose weight, I need to, you know, watch what I'm eating. Mm-hmm. So we think of food and fitness. Of course, they are two very, very strong and important pillars, but it's to realize that they're only two pillars of this whole big picture. So yes, when it comes to our physical body, we want to be looking at eating good, wholesome, nutritious food, you know, less food that's processed or that's has chemicalized sugars and stimulants, and looking more at going to plant-based, looking at more, you know, real food that grows in the ground or comes from trees. Mm-hmm. When it comes to movement, we want to be moving the body every day. Not doesn't have to be, you know, a big hit workout, but something that you enjoy, something that you're not just moving the body as a form of punishment, but you're moving the body as a source of energy and vitality. And because you genuinely love and respect your body. And that can be anything from 5 minutes on the yoga mat to getting out for a walk, getting in for a swim, anything that just moves the energy. Because energy is energy in motion. Emotion is energy in motion. It needs to be moved out. So you're not just doing it for physical weight and looking well, mm-hmm. but you're doing it to feel well in the mind. Also in that, you know, that pillar on the body, you want to be looking at your stress and your sleep. You mentioned earlier, I'm a pharmacist. I won't get too sciencey on it, but stress is probably one of the biggest drivers of a lot of our ill health in today's world. So really what we want to be doing is balancing our nervous system. And one of the cheapest, easiest, yet most impactful ways that we can do that is through the breath. So learning how to breathe properly.
Oh, when we're, okay.
Yeah, when we're in stress state or fight or flight, we tend to breathe very rapidly and very shallow from the top of our lungs. We're not using the full volume of our lungs. And when we do that, your heart rate goes up, blood pressure goes up, you know, temperature changes, we get digestive issues, immune system is decreased, reproductive organs, everything gets put on the back burner. And really the element of just taking a slow, deep, as we call it, belly breath or diaphragmatic breathing mm-hmm. sends a different signal to your nervous system, because if there was a real threat or danger there, you wouldn't be able to slow and take a deep belly breath. You'd be breathing very rapidly and shallow. So the very essence, you send a signal to your body now and the body says, well, you know, Miriam's safe. There's no threat. There's no danger because she's breathing slowly and deeply. And that can really take you out of fight or flight into the other side of the nervous system, parasympathetic. And it can really, you know, just ground you, just, you just feel more calmer, you feel more relaxed. And you can do that anywhere at any time, Marty. And I would just say to people, if they take one thing from today's podcast, is to try and take 5 to 10 slow, deep belly breaths regularly throughout the day and see how that impacts the nervous system, their mood, their cravings. It can reduce, you know, sugar cravings. It can just really help to shift so much of what's going on. And then the last pillar in that physical body would be, of course, sleep. So trying to, you know, instead of going for the coffee and potentially the energy drinks.
Yeah, I know. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming because we had, myself and Jerry, we had this chat about coffee a year ago. And yeah, I know. I understand. I you know what? I actually say on my end, it's like it's borderline not what it does for me, but I think it's like borderline a habit. You know, I think it's like I wake up in the morning and I just want something in my hand. Do you know what I mean? Which is obviously not the right reason to be having it. So that's something that I definitely have to work on myself.
Yeah. And, you know, like I am not anti anything, you know, I think everything is in moderation and balance. The only time it gets out of balance is when, you know, there's an addiction to it or you feel like you can't cope without it or it's impacting the adrenals, which is causing you to feel tired yet wired. So that's what happens. A lot of people, they get home in the evening, they're white tired, but then they're wired because there's too many stimulants in the system that's been brewing throughout the day. So really what we want to be doing is, if you can, you know, and even if it's breaking the habit and you need that cup in the morning, start with even just a warm water and lemon or a slice of ginger. That just gets the Agni going, which we call in Ayurveda, it's your digestive fire. And then have your cup of coffee half an hour later, you know. So it's just trying to make tiny little tweaks and changes, but when done regularly can have a huge long-lasting impact or effect. So that's, you know, looking at the physical pillar. And then the other two pillars, you know, I won't go into too much detail on them, but it's looking at what's going on in your mind, what's going on, you know, how are you speaking to yourself, how are you communicating to yourself, because the power of what goes on up there absolutely affects and can manifest certain, you know, physiological impairments in the body. A very simple example is, you know, if I was very upset or something happened, which is a feeling, I feel sad, I feel upset, well, then I can physically produce tears in the body. Mm-hmm. As a result of a thought or emotion, now I have actually manifested a physical change. So what we do think about actually does affect us physically as well. So just knowing, you know, what's going on in the mind is a huge pillar. How are your relationships with yourself, with others? So that's a huge other pillar in terms of well-being. And then the third pillar is the spiritual pillar. And, you know, this isn't about religion or God. Mm-hmm. Really about opening up to the essence of your soul, who you are. Are you living a life that's in alignment with your core values? Are you living a life that feels true? Are you, you know, going after your dreams? Are you going after what's passionate in your heart? Are you giving value? Are you giving time to the things that really bring you alive, that make you sing and dance, that make you laugh, that kind of take the shackles off and enjoy life? And I think that is a huge pillar in today's wellness world that is sometimes ignored or forgotten. So that's a kind of a broad brush stroke answer to that, Marty. But I hope that gives some.
Oh, tips. It did. Absolutely. And before we touch on soul space, you know, you mentioned sleep there, and I wouldn't mind just touching on that really quickly, because, you know, I think that when it comes down to stress and they are interlinked, especially these days, because everybody is addicted to their phone, you know, and it's hard to like put the phone down before you go to bed. And then you've got people now who are kind of doing more of their own thing, like they're not working maybe the average 9 to 5. So like I look at someone like myself and I work nights, and I don't get to bed maybe 3 or 4 in the morning after work. And you've got a lot of people doing that. I'm just going to like be so selfish with this question here, but I know there's people listening who probably are in the same situation. You know, what would you recommend for someone like, say, in that situation where they're not sleeping on what you would call like kind of like a regular like human pattern? You know, would the 7 or 8 hours sleep that someone gets overnight at that time be different to the 7 or 8 hours sleep that you get if you go to bed before 10 o'clock? If you know what I'm asking here.
I'll take that. I think it's always good to go back to science. So the brain works in 90-minute cycles. So the whole concept of 8 hours comes, we need 5 90-minute cycles. So we have to look at sleep as not just one block of 8 hours. It's 5 very important cycles. Each cycle is 90 minutes. And while we sleep, probably doing the most important thing that it does all day, which is stop, cleanse. So each area in your body then gets cleansed at a different time. So, you know, we know that from science, but for somehow the mystics always knew this. So sleep was always a priority. So in those 90-minute cycles, different areas, different systems within the body are refreshing and cleansing. And then they have to start at a certain time. So that's why people, you know, try to get to bed early, because they reckon, I think it's around 10 or 10:30 p.m., the body has natural systems built into it. So your circadian rhythms are the rhythms that are built into your body that responds to the outside movement of moon, stars. And I know people might think that's crazy, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Because the body and the mind instinctively knows when it's nighttime. And when it's nighttime, it produces a very powerful substance called melatonin. And it's your levels of melatonin that allow you to sleep. If you're out of sync and if you're not following a rhythm, then melatonin doesn't know when to be released. And without melatonin, you can't sleep. So what are the blocks to melatonin? Well, you're probably holding one right now. Your phone is probably the single biggest block. Because it has blue light, first of all, which bounces in the brain, and the brain thinks it's daylight, so it releases cortisol, more stress hormone, more get up and go hormone. The second is the stuff you're reading. So if you're reading work emails, they're probably stressed. So your body goes back into what Miriam talked about, the sympathetic nervous system. So now you're up for action. Or you're looking at another person's life, or you're looking at somebody else and you're judging yourself. And so either way, you're not in an emotional space of calm and relaxation. And then from a simple science point of view, your body doesn't have melatonin in it. It's still producing cortisol and there's no way you can sleep. The danger with that is that the more cycles you miss per night is the more that that part of the body is not getting cleansed. Those systems are not being renewed. And now you're beginning to seriously impair major organs, major systems in your body. So that's the first thing, is to put a rhythm and order into it. So, you know, if you want to be asleep at 10 o'clock, there's an expression that I use, and I might have used it the last time we spoke, that good sleep isn't something you fall into. You arrive at it. So you have to prepare for it. So you have to let the body know, I'm winding down. So come off work emails, come off your phone. So, you know, whether it's 2 hours before you want to sleep, you should be coming off your phone. You should be removing yourself from blue light, because now your brain is not being bombarded with artificial blue light. So you're dimming the lights down. It realizes at nighttime it can release cortisol. Also, then what are you thinking about? So you have to allow your central nervous system to relax, and your central nervous system will only relax if you're thinking about things that are not stress or threat-based. The minute you start thinking about threat or stress, it goes back into sympathetic and your body starts to rev up again. So it's really a practice and a habit. And when we work with the boxers, over 20 years ago, we started bringing sleep routines. And I think that's the key. And then the second part is getting up early in the morning. So for me, getting up 5:30 or 6 is perfectly normal. But I'd get up at 8 o'clock and straight into the madness of the day.
Yeah.
So the more we get up early in the morning, is the more tired we are at 9 at night when we go to bed. So you really have to have discipline and hygiene around sleep. It's like any good habit. It's like learning the piano, learning the guitar, learning to play Gaelic football. You have to commit to learning to do it well, because it's easy to develop bad habits. It's easy to forget how to do it well. But as Miriam has said, sleep impacts every biological process of the body. In order to be well, to be healthy, in order to be energized, in order to for your cells to renew, your brain to renew itself, and your internal organs to be healthy and well, we need sleep. So it's one of the best disciplines we can give ourselves around evening routines and morning routines. I hope that
just a little tip on that. I know we'll move off that topic then, but I like to use, it's just a very simple, but a 3-2-1 rule. So 3 hours before bed really should be our last main meal. So we don't want to be eating something really large and then trying to rest it, because we won't be able to sleep. So 3 hours before bed, last main meal. 2 hours before bed, ideally removing ourselves from anything that's too taxing on the body or the mind. So Jerry said, removing ourselves from work emails that might cause us stress, or not engaging in anything that's too highly active. So no like workout, no hit. At like just before bed, and then 1 hour before bed, trying to remove ourselves from the screens and technology, and using that time then to build in other routines, like maybe a meditation, maybe some, you know, yin yoga, yoga nidra, some journaling, reading something that's nourishing for the mind, using music, relaxing music, dim down the room, make your room a space of relaxation. So I hope that might help.
Yeah, it did. I'm just going to hand in my notice after this podcast and go from there.
As Miriam was talking, I was just thinking, you know, night when I got into bed, I did look at my phone, because I wanted to look, I'm looking at to buy something. So I went down Dundee looking. It's only while I'm chatting to you, I'm laughing, because I'm saying, Jerry, you know all of this. What the heck? So, you know, we all have to have a little bit of fun about it too, but it's taking sleep a bit more serious. So yeah. Even now, I just need to reset. And it's not that we're perfect at all, but it's so easy at times. And it's not that you're looking at work emails, or like you might be looking to buy something. You might be someone looking for a new home and you've had a busy day. And you know, maybe that's the only time you get. But if you find yourself lying in your bed, looking into your phone for any one reason, even if you do fall asleep, because your central nervous system is activated now, your dreams will be more vivid. You won't rest as easy. And when you wake up, even though you might have put the hours of sleep in, you won't feel as rested. So we all make the simple mistakes. But if you could give yourself the gift of not bringing your phone into their bedroom and making sure you're not the person lying in the bed with the blankets over you looking at the phone. Mm-hmm. That in this century, we know that is absolutely detrimental to our health.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much for that. That's a great insight. Let's move on to Soul Space. For people who aren't familiar with Soul Space, can you give us an intro to what it is as an offer to your community? And have you noticed people are investing more in their mental health recently, you know, as a result of being part of it or just in general?
I think it's literally a space for your soul. And we forget sometimes that soul isn't this kind of religious tangible thing, like psychology. So I'm people who are into psychology or a psychologist will know that psychology is the study of the human soul. So ology means study of, and psyche is human psyche. Now, psyche is soul. So for as far back as you go, whether it's in medicine or science or mysticism, the soul has always appeared. So psychology is not the study of the human brain. That's neuroscience. So we wanted a term that spoke to what we believed in, which is science, of course, and we've covered a lot of science in this. We're absolutely understanding of science, but also understanding that the soul is something far bigger than the physical body. And it comes down to things like the mind, and the mind is not the brain. It comes down to fun, joy, laughter, and unresolved emotions. And wellness, we felt, was going down in the last couple of years a very physical route, a lot around nutrition, a lot around green juices, a lot around, and that's all very good. But there's an expression that we use, and it says, no amount of green juice will alkalize the toxic self-image. So we wanted Soul Space to be a place where people would understand what the soul is, the role it has in its in your physical health, your mental health, and how do I nourish my soul? So we use an expression called anorexia of the soul. So if you're not actively nourishing your soul, your fun, your dreams, your ambition, your joy, your true self, your soul becomes depleted. And it doesn't really matter how much you train in the gym. It doesn't matter how physically well you are. If your soul is depleted, you're going to be depleted as a human being. You're going to be depleted in energy, depleted in passion. So Soul Space is it's an event that we run once a year. But we also run webinars, we run talks, and we bring in who we believe are leading minds in the area of psychology, medicine, nutrition, quantum physics, people who really bring something to this understanding that we as human beings are physical, we are chemical, but we are electricity, we are energy, and that we now have to understand that it is the energy part of the human being that is changing and manipulating and moving the physical. And when we change the energy, we change the physical. If we change the physical only and don't change the energy, then what we know from quantum physics is that matter can only be an expression of the energy. So if you don't change the energy in which you're living, your mind, your belief, then nothing changes. So that's what Soul Space is. It's an integrated scientific approach to health and well-being that really utilizes our understanding, but also the guest speakers we bring in and the minds that we bring in to add to this understanding of what health and wellness we believe truly is.
And how has the community grown over the past year? Is it going good?
Yeah, I'll jump in on this one. I absolutely love it. I'm so passionate about. We set it up in July last year in the middle of lockdown and all that's going on. So as a space for people to come and connect and to be heard, to learn, to grow, to nourish their soul, as Jerry mentioned. And it's all online. We run it through Instagram, private platform. And in it, we really look at that 360 approach to our mind, body, and soul. So we have hundreds and thousands of videos up there at this stage now. Every day we take a theme on the mind, the body, and soul. We have yoga. We do Kundalini yoga, yoga nidra. There's a huge variety. There's physical fitness. There's meditations. There's masterclasses with myself and Jerry, mm-hmm. different topics, nutrition, everything that we've kind of touched on here today. And the reason, I suppose, and it's great because it's worldwide and people are meeting and connecting and networking. And also, I think the one thing that we do every week is a meeting with everybody. And that's where the magic is, because people can connect with other like-minded people. People can share their stories. You know, people have, we've really, I suppose, set it up because no more than listening to a podcast or going to events, sometimes you get really inspired and you're really motivated and then you leave and you're like, oh, what do I do now? You know, and people are kind of left hanging a little bit sometimes and they don't know where to go or what to do. And they're full of energy and inspiration. And then they're kind of like, oh, but next week they kind of fall off the wagon again. Mm-hmm. So the community was set up to help people stay on track, to keep them motivated every day. Myself and Jerry have a thought for the day, which is a motivational piece about wisdom, about something that keeps them focused for the day. And it's just I think it's a really program or a platform to help people maintain and sustain transformative lifestyle habits and behaviors. And I think now more than ever, just people need it. No more than ourselves. It's for me and Jerry. It helps us stay on track. It helps. We need to be held accountable as well. Nobody, and we're certainly not perfect, but we use the community as a space to help us grow, nourish, evolve, and let go. A lot often that we run challenges where people have to let go of things. And mm-hmm. at the moment, I think one called the Fear to Faith Challenge. So we're giving people challenges where they have to write letters to people, where they have to do things that, you know, get them, get the action going and allow them to develop inner confidence and courage.
Love it. Jerry, the last time we spoke, you were expecting the arrival of a baby. Well, you guys were, I should say. And now, that's so terrible of me to say that. Like, Jerry, you were expecting the baby. And now you have a son, Eli. What's it like becoming parents, you know? Has it taught you anything? I mean, you're doing that on top of doing everything else. It must have been a busy year despite everything going on.
It was, yeah. Thankfully, Elijah is almost a year now. We can't really believe it. His whole life has been in lockdown, so he doesn't want them out. He thinks hand sanitizers and masks.
Probably better than the rest of us. He's having a great time, so yeah. Yeah.
If he sees somebody without a mask, he gets a fright. But it's been incredible. I mean, to see a little human being unfold in front of you, and me and Miriam just try to, you know, give him an environment in which he feels safe and loved, and then we allow him become who he wants to be. So it's been great. It's also been challenging, of course. It's a whole new way of life. It's a way of understanding. I mean, you know, in my book, you'll see I've done a lot of work on getting to know who am I. But then I'm suddenly Jerry the dad, and who the hell is Jerry the dad? And did I want to be dad? And, you know, it really challenged you at a really deep level. And I would be honest enough to say there's certainly challenges in it. There's some days you're scratching your head saying, you know, how are we doing this? Because particularly for us, we had no help or support. So we're first-time parents and we had to make it up. But I think it makes you trust yourself. It makes you trust in the universe and understand not to overly control or not to kind of give him space and say he knows what he's meant to be doing. Somehow in the womb, he knew how to create. He knew how to go through the birth process. And I think that's what it challenges me, not to try control what he does or control how we do things. We're not overly rigid on doing things in a certain way, because he knows. And that's for me, deep within us all as human beings, deep down, we know what we want to do. We know who we're meant to be. And if we can give ourselves permission to do that. So that has been, I suppose, my biggest challenge is not get in his way, encouraging him, let him know he's loved, and try my best to understand, you know, what is it being a dad? What's the type of dad I think is the right dad to be? And then giving myself permission to be that and not worrying about, am I doing enough? Am I good enough? And just say, am I doing my best? And some days you feel like pulling your hair out, and some days you feel like running out the door, and then other days you just
Miriam's fantastic. There listening going, oh yeah is that what's going on in your head? Yeah.
But I think most parents would say you have moments and you have days like that, and it just keeps coming back to, am I doing my best? And what one thing today can I focus on that's going to bring me joy? So rather than trying to do it perfect, rather than trying to, you know, just sometimes you got to just look at the baby, and the baby will tell you that life is incredible, that everything is an adventure, and don't take things too seriously. And in some ways, he's been the greatest lesson I've ever had. Just watch the human being unfold, mm-hmm. the system that he has. He knows who he wants to be. He knows what he wants to do. And for us, just create that environment and let him do it.
I wish I had half the faith in myself that you have in Eli, you know. Yeah, how he knows what he wants to do and how he's going to sort it all out. And here I am at like 30, you know, trying to figure it out myself. But how about you, Miriam? How have you been finding it?
Yeah, it's been an amazing journey. Not, as Jerry mentioned, not without its challenges, because obviously he was born in the middle of lockdown, and we're both in Dublin. All our families are in Galway. So, you know, those first couple of weeks, we didn't have any support. And in a way, that was very challenging. But in another way, it was actually probably the best gift or blessing, because it allowed me to just be, you know, and without anyone kind of coming in, giving their two pence about you should do it this way and maybe have you tried that. I just had to find my own way. And it allowed me, I suppose, it gave me confidence, I think, more than anything, just to trust and go with things and not get caught up in too much things. And the biggest thing I think I've learned in the whole journey is, you know, just coming back to gratitude, coming back to reframing things. So if something is challenging on that day, I will just pause, take a deep breath and look at him and say, God, you know, I'm so blessed. He's healthy. You know, we're all well. Mm-hmm. But the process of reframing has really been amazing for me. But I must say, I love it. And I didn't really know, being truthfully honest, I didn't know what way I'd take to motherhood. You know, I really didn't know what way I'd take to it. And I just, it has, the biggest thing that has taught me is fun and joy, because every day he just makes me laugh and love that you can't describe it, I suppose. But it is a journey, and it's not without challenges. And I think, as Jerry mentioned, you have to, well, for me anyway, what I feel I have to just surrender at times, let go of control and just go with the journey and just enjoy it, because you don't get these days back. And for me, I'm not gone back full time into work. I'm just really trying to, I don't think this is probably the only hour he's ever not been with the two of us in year of life, but it's been a roller coaster, but one that, you know, you get a thrill from, and I'm enjoying it, thank God.
Yeah.
I had to let him drive my car, Marty, for the hour, so I trust him.
If you guys can see me right now, because obviously given the circumstances, we're doing this over the internet, like I'm smiling away here. I'm filled with joy listening to you guys. And if my other half listens to this podcast, I'm here. You guys are talking about having a baby being so much fun and watching a human develop. She's going to be like, can you guys stop talking to Marty right now? Like, she's like, stop this right now before this goes too far. I'll be like, look, I've been chatting to Jerry and Miriam. I've got a great idea.
You've just given me a great idea, Marty. I could give you Elijah for a month and you could try and see how it's
okay. Yeah.
How about that?
No, well, considering the fact that, like, you know, he might end up, you know, coming out with energy drinks and stuff, that might not be a good idea.
That's okay. I trust him.
Yeah. Believe me, Marty, you wouldn't need to give him an energy drink.
Oh, yeah, you're probably
I'm telling you.
It's like, this is the first year we've had a really bad sleep pattern, I know. I could literally talk, and when I say talk, I really mean listen, because when it comes to interviewing people, I just end up listening to yourself, Jerry. And now Miriam having you on board as well with this one, I could honestly listen to you guys for hours, but unfortunately our time is limited. And you know, we've touched on the likes of physical and mental health, and I'd love to just give like a quick recap. You know, could you guys give three main takeaways for our listeners and before we let you guys go?
I'd like to let people know, when it comes to their health and well-being, that it goes beyond just the physical. So to look to the bigger picture, to look at that holistic integrated approach, looking at the mind, the emotions, looking at releasing, you know, releasing undigested emotions, talk them out, move them out, cry them out, write them out, breathe them out, just keep moving emotions out of the body so you're not getting stuck or stagnant. And then also looking at, obviously, we mentioned the physical stuff, food, fitness, sleep and stress, but also that sense of soul. So who are, what do you do? What brings you alive? What you know, makes your soul dance? What brings you joy? And are you prioritizing that? And if not, why not? Because often it comes down to, maybe we don't believe we're worthy of it. Maybe we don't believe we're deserving of it. And deep down in the essence of who you are worthy, you are enough, you are deserving, and you do deserve happiness and you do deserve joy. So can you start to prioritize your own health and happiness? Can you start to prioritize your worth? and go after the things that really nourish you and let go of the things that might be restricting you and that might be draining you, that no longer serve you. So I think that is my one takeaway. Use the breath, ground yourself every day, breathe, go back to basics, get out in nature, you know, get out for a walk, drink more water and try and get to bed a little bit earlier. And if you could do those couple of things, you'd be really on an amazing track.
Wow.
My tip is the power of choice. So I spoke about this long. I remember I had a great discussion, I think, with Annabelle about it as well. This great book, Man's Search for Meaning. So we can't always control what happens to us in life. We can't always control the things going on around us. But we know now that we get to control our inner world. So your central nervous system does not know what's happening outside because it can't see it. It is relying on you to tell it. So your thoughts, your emotions, your chemistry and your physiology rely on you. So if we can't control what happens outside of us, then we can take full control of our response. So at any given moment, ask yourself, how am I choosing to respond? What are the words I'm choosing to use? What are the emotions I'm choosing to hold? What are the foods I'm choosing to eat? And it's a challenge for us all. But when we realize that a lot of the chaos in our own life is actually caused by ourselves and the choices we make, it's a big challenge. But when we embrace the power of choice and the power of freedom, you are not your environment. You are not what happens to you. You are not your past and you are not your future. You are who you choose to be right now. So ask yourself, what's the story I'm choosing to tell myself? What's the words I'm choosing to use? What's the exercise I'm choosing to do or not do? What's the food I'm choosing to eat or not to eat? What are the bedroom sleep routines that I'm choosing to use or not to use? And when we stop outsourcing our health to other people, and when we stop outsourcing our happiness to other people, then we realize that I am worthy of love and happiness. And if I am worthy of love and happiness, then it is me that has to be the person who prioritizes that. So it's as simple as that. It's the choice. And the last thing is just listen to the words you use. Listen to the things you say to yourself about yourself. You can be exposed to lots of things that help your health, but you are exposed to yourself every minute of your life. So learn to be kinder to yourself. Learn to be more gracious, grateful to yourself. Learn to see the beauty in yourself. And ask yourself, do you sometimes say things to yourself that you wouldn't say to somebody else? And why? So that's my thing. Take responsibility, invest in the power of your choice, and invest in your relationship with yourself. Stop being so hard on yourself. Stop pushing yourself so hard. And listen to what you actually say to yourself. And ask yourself, are the things I say to myself healing me or hurting me? And only you can make the change.
Wow. Just wow. I'm completely speechless. I'm like sitting here in thought now thinking about all of that and just thinking that if our listeners have learned half of what I've learned, then we're on to a winner with this episode, 100%. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Before we say goodbye, where can we find you to learn more about what you guys get up to?
Thank you, Marty, so much for having us. Really, really, it's a real pleasure. I suppose the online website is soulspace.ie. And then on Instagram, our main Soulspace page is Soulspace the Experience, Soulspace-the-experience. And our community page is soul_space_community. And then we have our individual ones as well. You can get us on Instagram as well. But soulspace.ie. And on that you can find everything, and links to Jerry's new book and all that is in there as well. So
yeah, Jerry and Miriam Hussey, thank you so much for talking to us. Best of luck with Eli, and Jerry, best of luck with the release of the new book as well. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you, Marty. Pleasure as always.
Thank you so much, Marty. God bless.
You've been listening to the Wellfest podcast with me, Marty Guilfoyle, brought to you by KBC. Remember to check out wellfest.ie for more free health and wellness resources. See you next time.